enable us to commence this evening with hymn 509. Come, come my soul with boldness come unto the throne of grace. There Jesus sits to answer prayer and shows a smiling face. 509.
Two portions. Firstly, the Gospel according to St. John, part of chapter 10. John chapter 10. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice. And he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. This parable spake Jesus unto them, but they understood not what things they were which he spake unto them. Then said Jesus unto them again, verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief cometh not but for to steal, and to kill, and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. But he that is an hireling, and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming, and leaveth the sheep, and fleeth. And the wolf catcheth them, and scattereth the sheep. The hireling fleeth, because he is an hireling, and careth not for the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and know my sheep, and am known of mine. As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep have I, which are not of this fold. Them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life, that I might take it again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father. We turn now to the book of the Revelation and read a portion from chapter 3. Revelation chapter 3. And unto the angel of the church in Sardis write, these things saith he that hath the seven spirits of God and the seven stars. I know thy works, that thou hast a name that thou livest and art dead. Be watchful and strengthen the things which remain that are ready to die. For I have not found thy works perfect before God. Remember therefore how thou hast received and heard, and hold fast and repent. If therefore thou shalt not watch, I will come on thee as a thief, and thou shalt not know what hour I will come upon thee. Thou hast a few names even in Sardis, which have not defiled their garments, and they shall walk with me in white, for they are worthy. He that overcometh, the same shall be clothed in white raiment, and I will not blot out his name out of the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. And to the angel of the church in Philadelphia write, These things saith he that is holy, he that is true, he that hath the key of David, he that openeth and no man shutteth, and shutteth and no man openeth. I know thy works. Behold, I've set before thee an open door, and no man can shut it. For thou hast a little strength, and hast kept my word, and hast not denied my name. Behold, I will make them of the synagogue of Satan, which say they are Jews and are not, but do lie. Behold, I'll make them to come and worship before thy feet, and to know that I have loved thee. Because thou hast kept the word of my patience, I also will keep thee from the hour of temptation, which will come upon all the world to try them that dwell upon the earth. Behold, I come quickly. Hold that fast which thou hast, that no man take thy crown. Him that overcometh will I make a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go no more out. And I'll write upon him the name of my God, and the name of the city of my God, which is New Jerusalem, which cometh down out of heaven from my God. And I'll write upon him my new name. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Amen. May the Lord bless to us his word and grant us prayer. O Lord, we plead for thy help here this evening. We are greatly in need of it, thou knowest. O Lord, we are poor undone sinners. Lord, have mercy on us. Oh, we do pray that thou hast make thyself known to us, as thou dost not unto the world. We do pray that thou wouldst grant thy presence in that especial way that thou hast promised it to thy people. We pray, Lord, that thou wouldst influence us by thy blessed Spirit. Lord, convince us of our sin, we pray. Then lead to Jesus' blood, and to our wondering view reveal the secret love of God. O Lord, we have read from thy word this evening. Thy promise, Lord, that thy people's enemies, yea, all shall know that thou hast loved thy people. O Lord, we pray that thy people here tonight may know that thou hast loved them. Lord, only thou canst assure them of it. And when thou dost, Lord, none can gainsay or resist thy word. Oh, we pray it may be with such power tonight that all the adversaries within and without may be silenced by it. Do silence self. Silence the devil. Silence every other voice. Lord, favour us tonight to know we're among thy sheep who hear thy voice and follow thee. Lord, be not silent to us then. Oh, hide not thy face far from us. Thou hast been our help. Leave us not, neither forsake us. Oh, we do pray that thou wast direct one in speaking, that he may truly be thy messenger in thy message unto the people. Lord, he needs to be in it. Our Lord, he needs a message for himself as well as a message for the people. He is a sinner, as much, yea, more than the people are. O Lord, we pray to hear tonight the gospel of our salvation. O Lord, we pray tonight for that first believing, for those who have never believed before, and that sealing for those who have believed before. Lord, we ask for the sealing of the Spirit that thy servant Paul wrote of, after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. Lord, we ask then that thou wouldst come down in thy mighty power and mercy. Lord, we're not worthy that thou shouldest. But Lord, we never shall be. We never shall be. Shouldst thou wait till my poor heart can afford reception worthy thee, there never wouldst to sinners come. At least, Lord, not to me. Oh, come, Lord, for thy name's sake. Come, Lord, in thy faithfulness to thy everlasting covenant. In every name where my name is, every place where my name is recorded, thou said, there will I come and bless you. Oh, we ask for a blessing tonight, and indeed blessing. Lord, oh, that thou wouldst, as it were, lay thy hand upon us and bless us. Lord, thou wouldst reveal thy Son. Oh, what a blessing that is. It is the blessing. It is the blessing indeed. A revelation of thy Son in our place on Calvary's cross. In our place in the tomb. And Lord, interceding for us before thy Father in heaven, Lord Jesus. Lord, we pray, oh, may it be so now. Our prayers are poor, they're sin stained. Everything we do is marred by sin. Oh Lord, there is no perfect sermon. Lord, the only perfect sermons were the ones thou didst preach. Oh, we ask then, do intercede for us. Oh, Lord, we pray. Ah, wash us from the bad. Get to thy great name the glory of the good that thou dost give. For Lord, thou art alone our goodness. Oh, we pray, Lord, bless this people. Do them good. Visit them with thy salvation. Maintain them, Lord, in the path as appointed for them that they are now walking in. Lord, we know not, but thou knowest where they are and the path they now walk. Lord, we've read from thy word tonight, when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them. And the sheep hear his voice. Help those, Lord, that are walking in a path and they cannot see that it is right because they cannot hear thy voice. O Lord, we pray that tonight they may hear thy voice concerning the path they're in, and thereby know that it is right. Lord, oh, then do grant, we pray, that our gathering together this evening may be to thy glory in the salvation of thy people. We commend them to thee. Bless the families. Oh, do have mercy upon our children, the young people. Lord, we thank thee where they are found in thy house. We thank thee, Lord, for those who would be here if they could, but lawful hindrances prevent. Lord, we pray that as the young are found in thy house, they being in the way, the Lord may meet with them. Lord, we thank thee wherein thou hast met with any of us in thy house. And Lord, we thank thee where thou hast met with us in the way of prayer, in the way of reading thy word. Lord, oh, we thank thee that thou hast met with us when we were going astray. Lord, Jesus sought me when a stranger, wandering from the fold of God. He to save my soul from danger interposed his precious blood. Oh, we desire to thank thee. Oh, do grant us true gratitude tonight for all thy mercies, especially, Lord, the way thou hast led us. Lord, oh, for the helps received, the mercies bestowed, the blessings granted. Lord, the afflictions laid on us, the trials, the troubles. For thou knewest our need of them, and knowest our need of them now. And those things, Lord, that thou hast sanctified, and we pray that thou would sanctify the things upon us now. Lord, oh, it may be in correction for thy land, in mercy. Lord, oh, that we might be corrected by these things. And Lord, that thy land, thy people, might be blessed. And Lord, that we may prove in it all thy rich mercy. O Lord, we pray for the young then, thy direction in all their steps. We ask, Lord, for thy kind providence to be granted them. And Lord, we pray that thy sovereign grace might be bestowed upon them to save them with an everlasting salvation, to bring them to know Christ in a saving way. Lord, we pray that those keep them and each of us in this treacherous day in which we live, when there are so many snares. Oh Lord, we pray to be upheld. We pray that thou would keep our children and young people, keep them from the evil one. If the evil one has hold of any of them, do deliver them out of his hand, we pray. Oh, put in the hearts of the young that tender fear that thou hast put in the heart of Joseph. How can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? And Lord, put in them that humble, tender reply to thy word that thou hast put in the heart of Samuel. Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. O Lord, we pray for grace and wisdom to be given to parents and others in the midst of life with many burdens and cares. O Lord, we ask that thou wouldst grant thy kind and merciful overruling in all the matters in our homes, in our families, in our businesses. Lord, in the church of God. O Lord, do let thy work appear, we pray. And let the beauty of the Lord our God be upon us, and establish thou the work of our hands upon us. Yea, the work of our hands establish thou it. O Lord, we pray that thou wouldst pour out upon Zion the promised spirit of grace and of supplication. And then, Lord, surely that shall follow, and they shall look upon me whom they have pierced, and shall mourn for him, and shall be in bitterness, as one that is in bitterness for his firstborn. Lord, this is a blessing that only thou canst give. Lord, it is so desirable. Oh, give us the desire for it more than we have it. If we have it at all, increase it. Lord, till we say with Jacob of old, I will not let thee go, except thou bless me. Oh, Lord, for... oh, what a soul-saving, soul-softening, heart-softening, sin-cleansing, transforming blessing that is to look upon thee, Lord Jesus, whom we have pierced. And Lord, oh, how right it is for a sinner to mourn, for he has so much to mourn over. And Lord, to see it in that visage marred more than any man's, and his form more than the sons of men. Oh, make these things a living reality with us. Much we talk of Jesus' blood, but how little's understood. Oh, we pray for a bearable view, as far as, Lord, our poor, feeble frames could stand. Lord, that we might be saved by that view. Lord, for that is thy end, in giving thy people a view of thyself. Lord, we pray for any in particular need. Remember the afflicted, grant healing mercy, if it can please thee. Remember the dying. Oh, we pray for grace, for dying sinners. Lord, that sovereign grace. Lord, it may be one of thine, even this night, dead in trespasses and sins, is dying. Lord, oh, surely thou wilt, and we pray for it in the cases of each of thine. Lord, that almighty sovereign quickening. Lord, to convince of sin. Oh, to lay the sinner prostrate at the mercy seat. Oh, to make them this night by the divine energy of thy blessed spirit to cry unto God for mercy. Even as the thief did. Lord, remember me now thou in thy kingdom art. And Lord, we pray for that reply to be granted to those who are pleading this, who feel the mud-walled cottage shape but want to hear it, Lord. Thou art mine. I've gone to prepare a place for you and come again and receive you unto myself. This day shalt thou be with me in paradise. Lord, prepare us each how swiftly, in a twinkling of an eye, in a moment, that great change may come. We thank thee for thy mercies that have spared us. Lord, even this day, as we've journeyed and about our daily life, for Lord, when the appointed time comes, this heart will stop beating. We shall draw our last breath and enter eternity. Oh, prepare us for it, we pray. Make it our chief concern. Give us diligence to make our calling and election sure. Lord, we do pray for our dear young friends who hope, if the Lord will, to be joined together in holy matrimony later this week. Lord, thou knowest the way thou'st brought them. Lord, we thank thee for it. And pray, Lord, that thou wouldst be with them this week and on that day. Oh, Lord, bless them. Bless them, Lord, with the shining of the Sun of Righteousness. Oh, Lord, bless them with thy felt presence. Bless them with faith as they make those vows, as thy word is read to them and spoken to them. And help, Lord, in each part of the day, and in that path that they will then begin together. As thou hast brought them together, we verily believe. Lord, keep them. Lord, increase that love one to another. Watch over and preserve them in their going out and coming in. Help them, Lord. Oh, it is certain it will be a path of tribulation, for thou hast said it will be. But Lord, thou hast also said, these things have I spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Grant, Lord, the safe gathering together on that occasion, and thy help, Lord, to thy servant. Lord, now we pray for our absent friends, the deacon and his dear one. O Lord, thou knowest the cause of their absence. Pray that thou hast helped them this week, and grant safe return in due course. Now do forgive all we ask amiss. Make up where we so fail in asking. We plead for Jesus Christ's sake. Amen.
Hymn 448. When Jesus undertook to rescue ruined man, the realms of bliss forsook, and to relieve us ran. He spared no pains, declined no load, resolved to buy us with his blood. 448.
Conscience upon the Lord, I venture to direct you this evening to the book of the Revelation, chapter 3. Reading verses 7 and 8. In particular, it is verse 8 laid on my spirit this evening. Verse 7 reads, "And to the angel of the church in Philadelphia write, These things saith he that is holy, he that is true, he that hath the key of David, he that openeth and no man shutteth and no man openeth. I know thy works. Behold, I have set before thee an open door, and no man can shut it, for thou hast a little strength, and hast kept my word, and hast not denied my name. Behold, I've set before thee an open door, and no man can shut it." These letters written by the Lord Jesus Christ himself to the angel of the churches, that is the pastor of the churches. They're not called angels because they are angelic people. They are called angels because God has put them in the office of an angel. An angel is one who brings the message of God. That is why Christ himself in some places in the scripture is spoken of as the angel with a capital A. Jacob spoke of him on his deathbed, didn't he? The angel which redeemed me from all evil. Bless the lads. The Lord Jesus, as he says here in this letter to the pastor of Philippi at Philadelphia, he knows his works. He knows all about each one of his people. That which is secret from all others, God knows. God knows everything that is going through our minds this evening. God knows everything that we have done this day. God knows where there has been that secret calling upon him or where there has not. Where there has been that secret mourning over sin and where there has not. Where there has been that work of faith deep in the heart. How often a believer cannot see their own faith. God can see it. Christ can see it. Often a believer doesn't feel to love God. 'Tis a point I long to know. Do I love the Lord or no? Am I his or am I not? Well, what did the hymn writer believe? He believed that God knew. And he believed rightly. My dear friend, tonight, and this is how it will be with your soul if you're being led of the Spirit, you'll need letters from Jesus Christ. You'll need words from him. If it's your anxiety tonight concerning something in your soul or in your circumstances, cry unto him who knoweth all things from the end to the beginning. And not only knoweth all things, but my dear friends, he tells his people. Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth. But I have called you friends, because all things that the Father hath made known unto me, I have told you. the Counselor, Wonderful Counselor. If you go to an earthly counselor, you'll get earthly counsel. If you go to the heavenly counselor, you'll get heavenly counsel. And I'll tell you which is best. The heavenly counsel. And I'll tell you which is the best counselor. Christ. You know, we'd like to be so independent, but that's destruction. There's no salvation in independence. Poor sinner tonight who's so weak and frail and feeble and ignorant and foolish and stupid and sinful. And I could go on and give in adjectives of what you like. Oh, but if that makes you fit for Christ, what a blessing it is. That is, if the Holy Spirit makes you to feel these things in a spiritual sense. Don't envy the strong. Don't envy the strong. That is, not those who are strong in themselves, who can get on so well without continual renewals of grace, who can believe so easily without the Blessed Spirit inspiring it, who can love without the Saviour shedding it abroad in the heart, who know what to do without being told and can get out of trouble without the Lord manifestly and blessedly delivering them. Don't envy them. Don't envy them. Asaph did, and this is why I have to speak like I do. You say, surely the Lord's people don't envy. They do. Asaph did. He said, I was so foolish and ignorant as I was as a beast before thee. I was envious at the foolish. Till I went into the sanctuary, then understood I their end. Surely thou set them in slippery places. Ah, my dear friend, if you can go on in your own strength, you're in a slippery place. If you can go on without fresh supplies of grace, you're in a slippery place. My sheep, said Jesus in that portion we read, my sheep hear my voice, and when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep hear his voice and follow him. These things saith he that is holy. Has the Lord made the holiness of Christ attractive to you? It is attractive to the believer. Everything about Christ is attractive to the believer. Not some parts of him are attractive. Everything is attractive. The spouse said, didn't she? Yea, he is altogether lovely. If you find a person that, or if you find it working in your own heart and you think you're believing in Christ, but there's some part of him that you don't quite like, it's not a true and living faith. Oh, a lot of people, the Christ they love is a merciful one, but not an holy one. Balaam said, didn't he, let me die the death of the righteous, and let my last end be like his. But he had no desire to live the life of the righteous. He that is holy. Oh, my dear friend, if he were not holy, he could not be the Saviour. If he were not the sinless man, the God-man, he could not be the Saviour. And if he were not holy, you couldn't trust him. Oh, that's one thing that makes Christ's holiness such a precious thing to the believer. When they see their own unholiness, and sadly discern the unholiness of every one of their fellow creatures by nature. I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. And here is a man of clean lips, holy, he that is holy, he that is true, he that is truth. I am the truth, he said. Again, how precious this is to the believer. Ah. When you know you've got the opposite of truth, the heart deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. It's coming back to the same point I mentioned just now. When a sinner is brought to a healthy distrust of themselves, and he that is true speaks. He that is true speaks. Oh, is there one here tonight and you're perplexed about your case, your soul? You're perplexed about your life? What is right? How should I conduct myself in this matter? What way should I take in this matter? He that is true. Read what a minister said once concerning an experience he had in his young days, faced with a dilemma as to what to do, and he went and asked a godly old minister and said to him, what would you do in my situation? He explained it. And the godly old minister said, I would ask the Lord and he would tell me. He that is true. Didn't you sing in that hymn just now? How short he knows for whom he stood. Gave his life. He personates his people's case. He that is true. No guile. He did no sin. Neither was any guile found in his mouth. He that is true. You know, the Lord's people make mistakes. Godly Samuel did, didn't he? Surely the Lord's anointed is before me, he said, when he saw those sons of Jesse. What was he looking upon? He was looking upon the outward appearance. But this one who says, he that is true, he looks on the heart. He looks on the heart. Neither hath the Lord chosen this, he said. But when David is brought before Samuel, does Samuel make the decision? No. God makes the decision. Arise, anoint him, for this is he. And will he not do it for you, poor sinner? If you're brought to seek it of him, he that is true, he is the truth. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. He that hath the key of David, the Old Testament, the Lord spake of a certain man and said of him, the key of the house of David will I lay upon his shoulder. He shall open and none shall shut, and shut and none shall open. But he was speaking of a greater man than the man that is mentioned in the immediate context. The key of the house of David. The house of David is the church of God. Sometimes Christ is spoken of in the word of God as David. because he is the son of David. The Lord promised David that he would never want a king to sit upon his throne nor a priest to stand before him. The key of the house of David, then, speaks both of the church and the head of the church. He is the head of the church, being the son of David. And that is the only way in which he could be really manifestly the head of the church of God, in being the son of David. To redeem his people from their sins. To work that glorious righteousness for which they should be clothed. To open the door in our text. The key of the house of David. He hath that key of the house of David because his father hath given it him. Behold my servant whom I have chosen. Mine elect in whom my soul delighteth. He shall not fail nor be discouraged till he has set judgment in the earth. The Father's appointment of his Son to open, yea, to be the door, to open that way to heaven. How has he opened it? In all that he did in being his Father's servant. He has the key, because he is verily God and verily man. Oh, my dear friend, remember the Garden of Eden and what God set to guard that garden after he'd cast man out of it. He set cherubims there and a flaming sword. Lest man should enter that garden and eat the fruit again. Oh, but the Father has given unto his Son this key, by which his people shall be brought into a blessed union with God. This key, which is the opening of the way of salvation, the opening of the way to eternal life, the opening of the way to heaven, and the opening of every single way in their life, which is God's will for them, in which it shall be to their soul's good. It shall be to their blessing. When he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them. Why does a shepherd put forth his own sheep? Because he will lead them into pastures. He needs to put forth his own sheep that they should eat and live. He that hath the key of David, he that openeth and no man shutteth. He that openeth. Oh, the travail of Christ, by which this word was fulfilled. He that openeth. Openeth that fountain for sin and uncleanness. Openeth that way of righteousness. He leadeth me, said David, in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Openeth the prison that man was in. The prison of spiritual death. He opened that prison by dying himself. Openeth the prison wherein the lawful captive was held. That is, that there is a question asked, isn't there? Shall the lawful captive be delivered? His people are lawful captives. They deserve to be in that prison. They deserve to enter that place which, when they're in that prison, they fear they will enter, which is the eternal prison. He shall let go my captives, says his Father of him, he that openeth. And the opening is all of him, according to his Father's will. Oh, what opens the prison of death? The resurrection of Christ from the grave. Remember those women, they went to the sepulchre early on the morning after the Sabbath, the first day of the week. They said, who shall roll us away the stone from the door of the sepulchre? And when they looked, it's rolled away already. Who'd rolled it away? Almighty God. The Lord is risen. He that hath the key of David, he that openeth. He that openeth. But not only does he open in the way I've spoken of with regard to the doctrine of the just and righteous and merciful salvation of sinners and deliverance of them from the grave and from guilt and from the power of sin. He openeth everything that is good. You see, my dear friend, without Christ, everything that is good is closed to us. The word of God is closed to us unless Jesus open it. We know that the Holy Spirit is the one who in the Lord's people's experience does this. But the Holy Spirit is given on account of Jesus' work. And the Lord Jesus stated this so clearly. He will send you another comforter. He will send you in my name. Of course, when the Lord Jesus was here on earth, he was endued with the Holy Spirit without measure. And we read, on one occasion, then opened he the eyes of their understanding that they might understand the scriptures. We read concerning those two on the Emmaus Road, he expounded unto them. That's an opening of. Expounded unto them in all the scriptures of things concerning himself. He that openeth. And it is he that opens men's hearts. We read of Lydia, whose heart the Lord opened, that she attended unto those things spoken by Paul. There's one here this evening feel to have such a closed heart. Oh, that I could receive the Lord into my heart. I think of what William Gadsby once said concerning those people that have said they've given their heart to the Lord. And he said, that wasn't how I proved it in my experience. My heart was like a shut door. My heart had a shut door in it. I would not let Christ in. But Gadsby says he broke the door down and came in. I often mention that case in the Song of Solomon, because it is so significant. It is so blessed. Oh, how blessed it is when we prove it in our own experience, when the Beloved stands at the door and speaks. And we in our unbelief and worldliness and carnality won't respond to him. Or our response to him is a refusal. I've put off my coat. How shall I put it on? I've washed my feet. How shall I defile them? And she says, my beloved put in his hand by the hole of the door, my bowels remove him. Have you ever known him? You've known him then as he that openeth the door into his people's heart. He that openeth. We might speak of the opening as being the beginning. I am Alpha, the beginning. He that openeth and no man shutteth. And no man shutteth. Ah, you see, the opening that Jesus effects is according to the will of God. That's why no man can shut it. It's according to the will of God. I delight to do thy will, he said to his father. Thy law is within my heart. Secondly, no man shutteth, because that opening of the door is such a righteous, just opening of the door. So righteous. Oh, sinner, what a blessed thing that is. When Jesus does something and he does it so righteously, he does it so effectually, and it cannot be undone. Such clear work, but no man shutteth. Now that doesn't mean that sometimes in the Lord's people's experience, it may not appear that the door is shut. I mean, sometimes it may appear that the door that the Lord has opened is shut. But that is only an appearance. Think of how that door appeared to be shut when the decree was reversed regarding the rebuilding of the temple. The promised rebuilding and the Lord's powerful work by which it was begun. The foundation was laid. The hands of Zerubbabel have laid the foundation of this house. His hands also shall finish it. The word of the Lord is tried. He is a buckler to all those that trust in him. And no man shutteth. Perhaps there is one here this evening and you think that you are the person that has shut the door. Might we not rightly consider that Abraham and Sarah would have thought that when they had done what they did regarding Hagar? The door that the Lord had opened in the giving of the promise Surely now we've behaved like this, we've shut the door of the promise. Our sins have shut the door of the promise. We didn't wait for the Lord to fulfill his word. We went on without consulting him. But was the door shut? No. Why not? Because no man can shut, no man can turn back what God has done. Paul writes to Timothy, though we believe not, yet he abideth faithful. He cannot deny himself. And no man shutteth. And shutteth, and no man openeth. Just for a moment as it comes to me. Remember, this was written to the angel of the church at Philadelphia. The Lord had opened his mouth. How many times the Lord opens a man's mouth in the ministry and it seems as though man has shut it. That's why they put Paul in prison. But the putting him in prison only led to the confirmation that the Lord had opened his mouth. Because the Lord was going to open his mouth in the prison to save the jailer and his household. No man shut it. But you see, he shut it and no man openeth. If the Lord lays aside a minister from his labours, he won't go back to them until the Lord puts him back in them. If the Lord, for the teaching of that minister in his own experience and to show his power before the people, even shuts that minister's mouth while he is preaching, no man can open it. Perhaps some of you remember, as I speak in this way, was it not John Warburton? And he was so graciously helped right at the beginning of his ministry that he began to think too much of himself. And he was invited to preach at a certain place and he got his text and got it all lined out. And he thought what a wonderful sermon he was going to preach. He stood up. And it was complete confusion. And I believe, if I'm right in my memory, and I'm not always, but I believe I'm right in my memory, and the truth of it will stand whether it's completely correct or not in the circumstance, but I believe the deacon, he tried to persuade John Warburton to have another go, but he wouldn't. And then he said to the friends, I believe tonight, friends, we have seen the fulfillment of the Lord's word. He openeth, and no man shutteth and shutteth, and no man openeth. And shutteth, and no man openeth. I know thy works. I know thy works. He knew his works, he knows your works, child of God, because he is the worker of those works. My thoughts went earlier today to the Lord's word to his people when they had destroyed themselves. He says, yet in me is thine help, I will be thy king. I will be thy king. My thoughts went on to those servants of the king. You see, the king, the Lord himself, he is pleased in his kingdom to have his people work. He is their master. He directs them in that work. Yea, more than that, he strengthens them in that work. He teaches them what to do. Now, what is it? Prayer. Prayer. Someone might say, oh, God is great. He will do what he will. There is no need for me to pray, but that is not the Lord's will. As I say, it is the will of the King that his people shall work. Prayer is the appointed means for the conveying of his blessings. The labor of faith. I know thy works. I think I've mentioned in prayer, Moses' prayer in Psalm 90. Let thy work appear unto thy servants, and thy glory unto their children. Let the beauty of the Lord our God be upon us, and establish thou the work of our hands upon us. Yea, the work of our hands establish thou it. These are not fleshly works. It is the spiritual work, faith. And in that spiritual work of faith, the travail of the sinner by the inspiration of the Spirit, that's the only time we work in such a way as God looks upon it favorably, when we are led of the Spirit. And how is that? Always led according to the word of God. That labor of the publican, that was in accordance with the word of God. I know thy works. And then surely he that has this work of the Spirit wrought in him, there's a work of confession. John says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. You see, only God knows our works with regard to confession. Those of us that speak in prayer in public, the people hear us confessing our sins. We have it in the word of God. Daniel, in his prayer, confessed his own sins and the sins of the people. But the Lord knows what goes on in secret. On your bed, in your office, in the field, in the barn, wherever it is, in the factory, in the office. I know thy works. Oh, how blessed it is when the Blessed Spirit works in our heart his own work. One thing can identify it, and it's this. The work of the Spirit opposes the work of the flesh. Paul says, doesn't he? The flesh lusteth against the Spirit, but the Spirit against the flesh. I know thy work. And where, in particular, of course, it is so with a minister, I know thy works, his travail for souls, his exercise before God, his travail for the word to bring before the people and in bringing it before them, I know thy works. Oh, how blessed it is when the Holy Spirit is upon a minister and they are working the Lord's work. The visit, perhaps, to one of the flock. The word that the Lord gives him to speak to someone. The letter the Lord gives him to write to that person. I know thy works. I know what prompts those works. Where it is my love. And my fear, and my word, where it is me that prompts those works, says the Almighty, says the Lord Jesus. I know thy works. This comes back to me now. I'm thankful for the Lord to be my remembrancer as I preach, because I don't have things laid out before. But it just comes back to me now, this thought I did have earlier in the day regarding this word. I know thy works. You see, sinner, perhaps someone is misinterpreting you. Perhaps someone is ascribing to you something which is not true. Leave it to the Lord. We read of the Lord Jesus Christ, when he was buffeted, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously. It doesn't matter what people think of the way you take, of the things you do. What does matter is what is the Lord's view of those things. That is such a higher standard, isn't it? I know thy works. Behold, I have set before thee an open door. I have done it. Set before thee. This speaks of the Lord making something plain. Oh, how the Lord makes plain the doors he has shut. How he makes that plain in his people's experience. They thought they could get salvation by their own works. He shuts that door. They thought they could believe if they tried hard enough. They could repent. He shuts that door. They thought then that they could get to heaven by their own doings. He shuts that door. The hymn writer speaks of it, doesn't he? The more I strove against sin's power, I sinned and stumbled, but the more. And what is it in that person's experience that makes them to know the Lord has shut the door? There's no access. There's no pardon. There's no peace. There's no relief for their soul. There's no liberating of their soul from the prison. The door is shut. But then he sets before his people an open door. And this is in the setting before them of Christ. A door of hope is open wide in Jesus' wounded hands and feet and side. But you see, until the Lord sets it before us, we can't see it. This is the revelation of Christ. This is the revelation of the door. Why, those of you that have had this done for you, it wasn't that you didn't know that Christ was the way of salvation, was it? You did know that in the theory of it, in the letter of it. What a difference when he is set before us. By the Holy Spirit's revelation of him, and an open door is set before us. Not a door that we have got to open with our key. We don't have the key. My dear friend, the key is the Saviour's blood, the Saviour's merit, the Saviour's righteousness, the Saviour's name. The Father's purpose in the Saviour. The Saviour's finished work. That is the key. And when he says it is finished, Holy Ghost, repeat the word. Full salvation's in it. And that's the open door. I've set before thee an open door. Access to God by Christ. Why? Is the sinner that has been trying to make their case good enough to bring to Christ? You never will. The goodness is Christ. God has not purposed that sinners shall have access unto him by their own goodness. They shall have access to him by the goodness of Christ. Not by their own faith, but by the faith that Christ gives. I've set before thee an open door, and no man can shut it. I mentioned earlier, speaking of this same truth, that sometimes it does appear that the door is shut. But it isn't so truly. When is it in a person's experience, the door having been set before them, an open door, and then they come at some point later into that experience and it doesn't seem to be an open door anymore? Why, the Lord has a purpose in this, to cause his people to come unto him, seeking that in their soul's experience once again, the door which now seems shut may be opened unto them, that they may believe on Christ once again with the power of the Holy Spirit, that they may see him by living faith again. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. And no man can shut it. For thou hast a little strength. He's not speaking of this person having any strength in themselves. The open door is not for people who've got any, even little strength of their own. When I am weak, says the apostle, then am I strong. That's the little strength. Thou hast a little strength. Why? The Lord had given him a little. Is there one here tonight and the Lord is speaking to you by this word concerning a particular thing which he'll have you do and you say, I haven't got enough strength to do it? If the Lord has given you a little faith in the great God, that is sufficient. If the Lord has shed abroad in his heart a little love, that is sufficient. You say, how? When the Lord gives his people a little strength, what is it for? That they shall venture wholly on him, and he will, as this Isaiah 40 says, he will renew their strength. For thou hast a little strength. If the Lord has revealed his Son to you, then you must have received a little faith. You must have received a little love. You must have received a little saving knowledge of him. Thou hast a little strength. A little that a righteous man hath is better than the riches of many wicked. Now, thou hast a little strength and hast kept my word. Thou hast kept my word. Go back to what I was speaking of just now concerning the Lord as the King of his people. It is by the power of the word of the King that his people keep his word. He speaks to them in such a way as they firstly believe what he says. That is a keeping of his word. And if in speaking to them, as he does, in speaking to them, he commands them to do something. Keeping his word is to do what he commands. That's kept my word. Now this is a tremendous thing. It's tremendous to be spoken to by God through Christ. Remember, it's through Christ. It's Christ that's writing this letter. Thy people should be willing in the day of thy power. The authority that's kept my word. When he spoke to you in such a way as to cause you to seek his direction, you kept his word in seeking his direction and kept his word in not proceeding until you received his direction. But when you did receive his direction, he, by the power with which he spoke, made you willing then to go. That's keeping his word. It's not always comfortable. Thou hast kept my word. I cannot expect you hearers to know what this means in the path of a pastor. When the Lord tells a pastor to do something, to go and speak to someone or take a course of action which will be unpopular, but it is a keeping of his word. It needs great help. I remember my late dear father, of course he wasn't a minister, we had no pastor in those days. He was a deacon. The Lord laid upon his heart that he must go and speak to a church member concerning something was not right in their walk. And he told us that as he drove over to that man's house, he had to stop, pull his car into a lay-by and fall down before God and ask his help. That's keeping God's word. And when he went, he was enabled to speak graciously and was received graciously. You see, we're not keeping his word if we do the right thing in the wrong way. It is possible to do the right thing in the letter of it with regard to the scriptures in the letter of it, but if we don't do it in the spirit of the scriptures, we're doing it in the wrong way. Behold, I have set before thee an open door. In providence, there is a fulfillment, there is an application of this word. Have not some of you here this evening proved it? A door that no one else but the Lord could open. It's the door he has chosen. He opens and none can shut, and shuts and none can open. A few years ago, my wife and I sought to move to a smaller property nearer the chapel, feeling that we no longer needed the large house that we have. Everything seemed, and I tried to commit it to the Lord and watch his hand in it. In the end, the Lord shut the door. We couldn't understand it. Hereafter, he will make us know. We shall surely see he was too wise to err and too good to be unkind. He knew we were going to need that large house we still have. He knew what we didn't know. What a mercy he shut that door. If he hadn't, we'd have been in the wrong place. You young ones, some of you have seen it. May all of you see it. May all of you look for it. Why, my dear friend, it's like this. God is love. God is gracious. God is kind. God is merciful. If he brings you, my dear friend, to fall before him and say with the Apostle Paul, Saul of Tarsus, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? He will say to you, it shall be shown thee what thou must do. Behold, I have set before thee. Sometimes he does it with a word, with power. Sometimes he does it by a demonstration of his power. He commanded Moses to stretch out his rod over the sea, and the waters divided. There were walls of water either side, and the Israelites went over on dry ground. I've set before thee an open door. And then at the other end of the journey, the next generation, of course, it wasn't the older generation, they perished in the wilderness when they entered into Jordan. And it was at the time when the river Jordan was at its highest point, time of harvest. The priests carrying the Ark of the Covenant, and as soon as the priests carrying the Ark of the Covenant that sets forth Christ touch the brink of the waters again divided. I've set before thee an open door, a path that you'll have you walk in. That hymn you sung just now. The tokens of Christ's love. The Lord's word. While this you do, remember him that died for you. If he has given you faith in him. And oh, if he give the command, I've set before thee an open door into this obedience. It's love. That's the open door. It's the love of Christ. Dread no ills that may befall you while you make his way your choice. Be interred at his commanding, after his example, rise. But then to return just with this thought concerning the door that the Lord has opened, the path. He doesn't open a door for a person to go in and walk in that way in their own strength. No. The open door, my dear friend, is complete dependence upon him. That's the blessing. Oh, what a blessing to be made and kept dependent on the Lord. You say, oh, this is what I fear about making a profession. I shall bring reproach on his name. May the Lord speak with power that word to you, unto him that is able to keep you from falling. That
opens the door. It answers the objection. And it is true that if he left to you to yourself, you would bring reproach on his name. But I've set before thee an open door. This way I command you to go in. I'm not going to leave you to go in that way in your own strength. Remember what we read in John 10. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. Behold, I have set before thee an open door. What a miracle. The opening of the door is a miracle. It is in grace, it is in providence. The miracles of the merciful, gracious, almighty Lord Jesus. I have done it. Amen.
Let us close with hymn 324. Though troubles assail and dangers affright, though friends should all fail and foes all unite, yet one thing secures us, whatever betide. The scripture assures us, the Lord will provide. 324.
Thank you.
thank thee for the truth. We thank thee where thou hast set before us an open door. Pray, Lord, that thou wouldst again and again do so. And Lord, help us to walk in those paths that thou hast set us in, looking unto Jesus. Oh, do forgive all that has been amiss. Take us each under thy kind care and keeping, we pray. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with us. Amen.